Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew 25 in your Schofield Bible, page 1036, 1036. Starting with verse 34, we'll read through verse 45. We'll read the verses responsively. And may we stand, please, as we always do here at First Baptist Church. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And let's pray. Father, we thank you that of all the places a person could be or go, that there's just simply no place like this place. Thank you for our church. Bless this morning's service, the message. Help us to hear with the intention to listen and to do that which thy word would bid us do. Give of thy strength and thy blessing in this hour and thy presence, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
In just about 2.5 weeks, I will have finished my allotted 70, and I'll be living on bonus time after that. I look at people my age so often and see them so handicapped. I look at people my age and good night. 10 years ago, I could have joined the Senior Citizens Club at our church. 8 years ago, I could have gotten partial retirement, Social Security. 5 years ago, I could have gotten full retirement, Social Security. And yet, it's amazing the way the Lord has blessed me. I am in reasonably good health. I've got the usual ailments that come with deterioration. But I'm in reasonably good health as far as I know. But God has blessed me more than He's blessed any other pastor in this country. And maybe more than any other pastor in the history of our country. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you why this morning. Look, I'm going to give you today the best investment plan for your old age. And I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm there. I know what I'm talking about. Now, I want you to wake up on the front row, fellas, down here. Just wake up. Slap yourself. Be a man and wake up. I got something to tell you. I didn't come to have a slumber party. I came to preach to you. The truth is, the average person in this room doesn't believe in God. If you believe in God, I promise you today I will give you the best investment in your financial portfolio that you can make. And it's not just a sermon. This is a This is a talk from a man who is giving you the best retirement plan. And I know what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you what I've heard. I'm here. I know what I'm talking about. I want you to sit up straight. I want everybody in this room to listen carefully. I'm not going to give you my text for about 10 minutes because I want to wait and give it to you, because in the first 10 minutes of my sermon, it's sort of introductory. And I do want you to listen carefully. I'm going to use this mic here this morning. And so I want you to listen carefully. Our Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing to the people I love the most in the whole world. People with whom I've served, many of them, for 37 years plus now. Help me to be a blessing. But I can't be a blessing if they don't listen. That college student, his mind wanders and eyes are wandering. I can't help him, but I want to. He's going to be old someday. He's going to need to know what I'm teaching this morning. I pray you to help me as I speak, please, and our people as they listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Sit up straight. Look right this way. Listen carefully. I love the passage we read a while ago. Jesus said, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison and I was sick and you visited me. And then he said something like this. Listen to me. He said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Then he said to others, I was hungry or thirsty, you didn't give me any drink. I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was sick, you didn't come to see me. I was naked or cold, and you didn't buy me a garment. They said, well, wait a minute now, when did we do this? He said, inasmuch as you do it not, or have not done it, one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now listen to me carefully. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if Jesus would say to me, could I have a drink of water? I'll tell you what, I haven't sipped out of mine. You couldn't give him much of yours, Johnny, but I could give him a drink of water. Wouldn't that be something to walk up to Jesus and say, Jesus, if you're thirsty, and wouldn't you love to see those prints in his hands, those wounds in his hands as he reaches out and takes a drink of water? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing today if you could have Jesus over to your house for lunch? I'm talking to the men now. But okay, let's put it this way. Suppose Jesus were here this morning, and you walked up to him and said, Jesus, would you go eat at tables with us today? Of course, he'd rather eat at Cracker Barrel. But suppose Jesus loves fried okra and turnip greens but suppose that you got to sit across the table, listen to me now, from Jesus, and you saw him reach out for the fork and you saw the wounds in his hands. Wouldn't that be something if you could actually give Jesus a drink of water? Or if you could actually feed a meal to Jesus? Don't you, ladies, envy a little bit Martha, who got to prepare a meal for Jesus again and again and again? Wouldn't it be something today if Jesus were in town, he wanted to have a place to stay, and you said, Jesus, you can stay at our place tonight. We'll sleep down on the sofa, or we'll stay awake all night. Just take our bedroom, Jesus. Wouldn't that be something to realize that behind the door right there is the Son of God, even Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be something if you could take Jesus down and buy him a new suit of clothes? Just take him down to where you trade, Goodwill, or what's the other place they call it? Well, Amvets. Sound like that's where you all trade. Our ladies in the choir, they don't buy new dresses. They just trade new dresses. They take them to Amvets and buy the ones the other choir, the altos, change with the sopranos. But wouldn't it be good to take Jesus down to a men's store today and say, Jesus, pick out whatever suit you want? See, I got to buy suits for Dr. John R. Rice years ago. I got to buy a suit one time for my hero, one of my heroes, Dr. G.B. Vick. I bought a suit one time for Dr. Bob Jones Sr. I guess I bought a dozen suits for Dr. Lester Roloff. But wouldn't that be something? Now, the truth is, the Bible says there's a way you can do that. Jesus said, if you give somebody a drink of water in my name, listen to me now, he said, you're giving it to me. If you give somebody a meal in my name, you're giving it to me. If you visit the sick in my name, you're visiting me. If you buy a garment for somebody in my name who's cold, you're buying a garment for me. Now, wait a minute. Let's go a step further. I'm not near the sermon yet, so don't leave me. Let's go a step further. Let's suppose that Jesus said to me this morning, I'm sitting here, and Jesus said, could I have a drink of water? And there it sits. And I said, look, I'm really busy, Jesus. I don't have time to give you a drink of water. Wouldn't that be an awful thing? Or suppose Jesus said, Jack, I'll let Jesus call me Jack. He said, Brother Jack, could you take me out to Cracker Barrel and buy me a good meal? And I said, Jesus, look, I am really busy. I'm pastor of the largest church in America. And I'm chancellor of the largest independent Baptist Bible college in the world. And I got all these schools and all this. I haven't got time for that. Wouldn't that be something? Or suppose Jesus said, I need a new coat. Could you take me down and buy me a new coat? And I said, good, not I haven't got any money to buy you a new coat. I got bills to pay. Now, wait a minute. Listen carefully. There are hundreds of people in this room who've turned down Jesus for a drink of water. There are hundreds of people in this room who have refused to feed Jesus Christ. There are hundreds of people in this room who have refused to clothe Jesus Christ. Because he said, inasmuch as you have done it not unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it not unto me. Ladies and gentlemen, we are very fortunate to live in the great Chicago area, where there are more poor people probably than any place probably other than New York City in the entire United States of America. And we have an opportunity that nobody else has. You have a better opportunity to give Jesus a drink of water than anybody else in America probably. You have a better opportunity to feed Jesus than anybody else in America, or to buy Jesus clothing than anybody else in America. So, that means when I was out at the Columbia Center, I walked up to knock on the door of a very, very poor apartment complex, and nobody was there. As I was standing at the door, or about to leave, the milkman came, and he walked up and he left some milk on the front door of this place, and I'm going to clean this platform up a little bit. He left some milk on the front door. And I went out to my car and I watched him. He rang the doorbell, he knocked on the door, and finally took the milk, several cartons of milk, and took it back to the truck. And I walked up to him and I said, where are you taking that milk? And he said, I'm taking it back. He said, I'm not going to leave it. And I said, why? He said, because they never pay. It's a poor area. And so I said, look, how much do they owe you? He told me several dollars. And I said, I'll pay that. I didn't know who was there. I'd never seen these people. And I paid their milk bill, and he took the milk and left it there on the front door step. And I said, Jesus, I hope you enjoy the milk. Jimmy? Jesus, I hope you enjoy the milk. When the Fernwood Baptist Church brought food to a little poor boy and his mother out in Dallas, Texas, in the ghettos of Dallas, Texas, that little poor boy was the man you're listening to right now. They brought food to Jesus. When they gave us Christmas and Thanksgiving because we had nothing to buy with, they gave to Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How many meals have you given to Jesus lately? How many coats have you bought for Jesus lately? How many kind things have you done for Jesus lately? Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to me. My Savior said, and that's the Word of God, not only the Word of God, but the words of my Savior. He said, if you don't feed the poor, you're not feeding me. If you don't clothe the cold, you're not clothing me. If you don't care for the needy, you're not caring for me. You're looking in the face of Jesus Christ himself and saying, leave me alone. I don't want to buy you anything to eat. I don't want to give you a drink of water. I don't want to give you a place to stay. I don't want to buy you a coat. I was in New Orleans airport. I'm trying to tell you what a wonderful man I am. You already know it. Thank both of you for saying amen. But I was in New Orleans airport. I was about to check in. I'd been preaching in Baton Rouge and had driven down to New Orleans and was catch a plane, and there's a very poor lady with a baby. It's a pretty old baby. I mean, probably 2 or 3 years old, I'm not sure. But she's holding it in her arms and she was crying there at the gate. And she said to the agent, she said, I don't have any money. And the agent said, but ma'am, you've got to buy a ticket for that child.
Well, the child can sit in the lap. The agent said the child is above the age. The child is too big. You've got to buy a ticket and have a seat for that child. She said, I've got to go to Chicago. I don't have any money, and I've got to go. It's an emergency. There's something I've got to go about, and I've got to. And the agent said, ma'am, you cannot get on this plane unless you buy a ticket for that child as well as the ticket for yourself. I stepped up, and I said, sir, how much would a ticket cost? He said, for the child, it'll cost $100 for the ticket. And I took out my credit card, and I gave it to him. I said, put it on that card. Every time I preach like this, people come by the office wanting something after the service. So the lady said, who are you? And I said, never mind, I am. When she got on the plane, I began to weep, and I said, Jesus, I hope you enjoy the trip. Hope you enjoy the trip. So I can buy a meal for Jesus. I can buy a ticket for Jesus. When I bought the suit of clothes a few days ago for a preacher, a poor preacher. It was Roy Moffat. I don't know a poorer preacher than Roy Moffat. And I bought a suit of clothes for a preacher that was in a little country church and makes a few dollars a month for a living. I bought him a suit of clothes. As he walked off, he said to somebody, Dr. Jack Hiles bought me a suit of clothes. I said, I can beat that. I bought a suit of clothes for Jesus. And I said, Jesus, I hope you enjoyed the clothes. What a wonderful truth. I can give Jesus a drink of water. What a wonderful truth. I can buy a meal for Jesus. What a wonderful truth. I can entertain Jesus in my home. What a wonderful truth. I can clothe Jesus Christ and buy him a garment. Let me give you a better one. Don't miss this. You'll never forget this verse. Sit up straight, slap yourself, wake up, fellow beside you sleep, slap the fire to him. Listen carefully. Get this verse. My text. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. Hey, did you hear that? He that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. That means there's a way you can let God borrow from you. And you talk about interest, it'll come back. Oh, the scripture said, cast thy bread on the water, after many days it'll return. The old black preacher said, yeah, with butter on it. For 50 years in the ministry, I've been having pity on the poor. I really have. I've lost millionaires in this church because I stood for the poor. I lost 7 millionaires one day because I stood for the bus kids. I'd do it again at the drop of a hat. I'll furnish the hat. And that's one reason why this old church on this corner has withstood every attack the devil could launch against it, because God loves the poor, and God's considered concerned about keeping the doors open of a church that loves the poor. The best investment you can have in your portfolio for your old age is while you're young and growing older, consider the poor. Pity the poor. Help the poor. You don't believe that, or you'll do it. Social Security may go broke, but social Jesus will never go broke. And so, Bible, let me give you these verses. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. When you get in trouble, you want to be delivered, but you won't be unless you consider the poor. Get this verse. Psalm 41:2. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him into the will of his enemies. Boy, I've read that one a heap of time. When some enemy had attacked me and somebody tried to destroy my ministry, I'd say, Lord, look at Psalm 41:1 and 2. I've stood for the poor. I've helped the poor. I've been a champion of the poor. You know that's the truth. I've stood up for the poor, and I've tried to feed the poor and clothe the poor. And praise God, I know what I'm talking about. God will preserve and deliver those who consider the poor. How about this one? Proverbs 14:21. He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Don't have to go to the psychiatrist. Don't have to go to the psychologist. Don't have to take a mood pill. Just Bible said, he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. How about this one? Proverbs 14:31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. He that oppresseth the poor, he that oppresseth those people up there who are homeless today, reproacheth God himself. But how about this one? He that loveth him hath mercy on the poor. How about this one? He that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. How about this one? The righteous considereth the cause of the poor. How about this one? Proverbs 29:27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. How about this one? He that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. Now let me explain who the poor are. We're talking mainly in the Bible, the poor are females and children. Did you ever notice in the Bible, hardly ever does God consider a man poor? Now you sit up straight and listen to me, you guys that wear pants today in the family. You guys that shave yourself, you sit up and listen to me. There's no need for you to be poor. He's not saying, blessed is he that considereth a lazy fellow home watching a ball game on welfare. He's not saying, blessed or care for those who are lazy bums. He's not saying, blessed to those that care for those who are poor because they will only settle for a certain kind of a job. I got in my car Wednesday and I drove around town. I found 13 different places that said help wanted, now hiring. But your problem is you're not willing to work at McDonald's. You just sit home and say, I can't find work. Listen, go out here to Dairy Queen on Highway 41. They're hiring. Go out to Burger King in Lansing. They're hiring. Go over here in Illinois to the Baker Square. They're hiring. I'm trying to tell you, brother, if you've got two arms and you've got two legs and you're a man, you can support your family and you can take care of your family and you can find a job. I'm sick and tired of the working people in this country. I'm sick and tired of us financing the lazy rascals who are home drinking beer and smoking cigarettes that came from your pocketbook and mine. I'm not talking about blessed those who don't have anything because they drink it all up. I'm talking about the widows and the orphans. That's what I'm talking about. Well, that person who's helping a bus kid go to City Baptist is lending to the Lord and investing his money for the future. That person who goes door to door in the ghettos on Saturday trying to get little bus people to come. I wouldn't give you a dime for these high church, formal church services where the poor are not welcome. Bless God, these bus kids over here are just as welcome as anybody else. And these mission men up here are as welcome as anybody else. These homeless people are as welcome as anybody else. Let me tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ in America needs to discover the poor again. And the best investment in your portfolio is to live a life feeding the widows and orphans and helping the poor. God said, he that pitieth the poor lendeth to the Lord. Lendeth to the Lord. Somewhere in your business portfolio, you should put in this investment. Years ago, telling a fellow this morning, years ago my sister helped a poor little boy. It was her brother. My sister worked for $10 a week at Pollock Paper Company. Worked 5.5 days. She got paid Saturday at noon. She'd buy me a baseball. Didn't cost a great deal, but she'd bring it home. I'd knock the stuff inside of it during the week, and she'd buy me another one. Tight wad, she wouldn't buy me a good one. And then one time, I'd never had a bicycle, a new one. And my sister, who sits in the choir this morning, bought me a $20 bicycle, a Western Flyer. Had a horn right here, had a light right here, air conditioning, power steering. It was loaded. Earlene, I was in Reno, Nevada, and sitting in my room, and I figured out how much that bicycle cost me. That bicycle has cost me over $160,000. I'm going to buy her a bicycle and forget paying her. I give her a check every month. She's my sister, my aged sister. I give her a check every month. Rather sizable for me. Send her on a vacation twice a year. Every year, pay her plane ticket. Pay her, give her some expense money to spend while she's there. Take care of her. She invested $20 about 95 years ago. $20. That's cost me. I wish I'd bought the bike myself and paid it out. $160,000. But I want to tell you something. That woman didn't do it so she'd get $160,000. She did it because she loved her poor little brother and wanted her brother to have a bicycle. And it's time the Church of Jesus Christ awoke and realized that when Jesus preached his first sermon, the first thing he said, Isaiah 61, "And the Spirit of the Lord God is appointed me on me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." How long has it been since you bought a meal for some poor person? How long has it been since you put some food on a widow or an orphan's table? How long has it been since you put a coat on somebody's cold back? How long has it been since you gave somebody that was poor something to buy a garment with? How long has it been? Let me tell you something. I'm talking to folks this morning who will live in poverty when you're 70 and 75 years of age because you're not investing in the greatest financial portfolio known to mankind today. Lend to God. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. The greatest churches in America today are being built by Howells Anderson College graduates. And do you know what they did while they were in college? Had bus routes. Or worked with the public school kids in the Bible clubs. These pretty boys that played basketball while others were out visiting the poor, they're not doing anything for God today. I often love to sit with our graduates as I did this week out in Reno, Nevada, one of our graduates pastoring out there. I love to hear them talk about when they were in Hammond. I was on Division 6 or Division 8. I was on bus route 119-10 or something. And they talk about their bus route. And that's why, I'll tell you why, God looked down and said, "These men love the poor. If you will take care of the poor, God will take care of you." Years ago, when I was just a kid preacher, my Uncle Harvey was a multimillionaire. You often hear me talk about him, one of my heroes. He was a multimillionaire. He loved me as if I were his own son. And don't get upset, he didn't leave me anything. Dirty bric-a-brac, a pack of them, a bunch of slattery. But he told me one day, he was a Baptist. Every time his church had a building program, they'd ask him to lead in prayer when they took the offering. He sat down one day and looked at me and he said, "Son, don't build your churches on people like me." He said, "God will bless your churches if you'll build your churches reaching the poor." You're looking today at a preacher who's pastor of this church, whose church and schools are valued, buildings only, not including property, at $55 million. And we, to the glory and praise of God, are debt-free. I am convinced today it's because for years I've been lending to God. Dr. Tom Neal. He is one of the most generous men I ever met. Dr. Tom Neal does as much for poor people and for folks who have need of help as anybody I know. Several years ago, a wealthy man walked up to talk to Tom Neal and said, "I got a church I want to give you." He gave him one of the most beautiful pieces of ground you've ever seen in your life, with a $1 million building sitting on that ground, and just hauled off and gave it to him. The man was a wealthy businessman from Jacksonville, Florida. He came to pastor school one year and decided to go home and build a church. You businessmen think it looks easy. He went home. This man could make millions of dollars, but he tried to build a church, and he built the building because he had the money, but he couldn't get the people to come. And he gave the building to Dr. Tom Neal. Why? Because Dr. Neal's been lending to the Lord. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. Now, I'm not just preaching to fill up some time. I'm trying to tell you, I'm 70 years of age. I'm doing nothing but clipping coupons. And one reason is, the time I walked in a pulpit the first time in that little country church in northeast Texas, till this hour, I've been the champion of the poor people, the widows, the orphans, the bus kids, the down, the out, the rescue mission men, the homeless people. I love everybody, but Jesus has a special blessing to those who consider the poor. But most of you, you don't want to see the poor because you feel guilty. You won't drive down the ghettos because it makes you sick and you won't do anything to help. I stood First Baptist Church years ago. 37 years ago, this is an old story. I haven't told it in years, but some of you have never heard it. I want to share it with you. I hate to even admit what I'm going to say. I always pastored the church across the tracks down in Texas. I didn't pastor the First Baptist Church. I pastored the Maranatha Baptist, the Berean Baptist, the King James Bible Baptist, the Premillennial Baptist, White Trash Cross Tracks. All of a sudden, I was called to pastor this church. 37 years ago, Brother Ray, this was a wealthy church. We had money. You were here. We had money. All the rich folks left, and I was left with people like you. And I hate to say this, but I saw it as my chance to be somebody. I hate to even confess this. I saw it as my chance to be somebody. The first time in my life, the outgoing mayor of this city was on our board of trustees. Owner of the biggest department store in this northwest Indiana was on our board of trustees. President of the biggest bank in Hammond was on our board of trustees. I had wealth. One man told me that he'd send Ms. Hiles and me on a one-month cruise every year at his expense. And I was somebody. And then one day they called me in, some of these rich people, and said, "You can't have these bus kids anymore." And I won't go through the whole story. I'll simply say I went through one of the battles of my life. I came to work one morning. Here's the story I want to tell you in close. I came to work one morning. I was pastor of First Baptist Church. Now, down south, First Baptist Church is the church in every town. I mean, it's the most influential institution in the city of down south. All of a sudden, I was pastor of that downtown church. I came to work the first morning. I was in my office. The door was open a little bit. The secretary gave me a buzz, and she said, "Pastor, there's a man wants to see you here." I'll be quite frank with you. I was 32 years of age, and I was impressed with myself because I was pastor of a wealthy church. I mean that. I thought, who is it? The mayor? Is he here to welcome me? Is it the head of the Chamber of Commerce? Who is it to see me? I looked out through the crack of the door, and there was an old man out there. I've never seen a man quite as filthy as he was. Just, we'd call him a bum off the street. I told my secretary, I said, I'm really too busy to see him. She said, "Are you sure that's what you want to say?" And I said, "No, I don't. Send him on end." The old bum came in. His hair was matted with filth. He had a cap on that was filthy. He was twisting it. His shirt was white, used to be white, but now it was yellow. His pants were baggy and too big and had a rope around the waist for a belt and had patches in the knees and shoes on. They'd taken a razor blade or a knife and cut over each toe to make the shoes from a double A to a double E. Filthy. Odor was terrible. I expected the mayor. I told him how to be saved. And we knelt there at the sofa in my office then. The old man prayed the sinner's prayer. And while he was praying, I looked up on the wall as if God had put a projector there, an overhead projector. I saw the 8th Psalm. "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him the Lord of the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion of the work of thy hands, hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, the beasts of the hill, thou there, and what shall pass to the path of the sea," and so forth. I saw the 8th Psalm there.
I wanted that old man to Jesus Christ there in my office. Filthy, dirty, dirty, filthy old man. When I got through, I looked at him and I said, "Sir, thank you for honoring me for coming by and seeing me today." He was sort of stunned. He couldn't believe that I'd be so honored. I said, "Sir, of all the people in this area, I'm glad would want to come by to see me. I said, you're the man I'd want to come by and see me." He walked out of the office. I got on my knees and said, "Oh God, I'm sorry. I was enchanted with the wealth of the church, and I was enchanted with the fact that I had the elite people in the city in my church. Now I know why I came to Chicago. I came to Chicago for old men like that." Story ends here. Not long after Ms. Hiles gave birth to our last child, Cindy, sitting back there this morning, I was home with David. My mother had the other two children while Ms. Hiles in the hospital. One night I was speaking at a rescue mission. Used to be on Columbia down here. Union Gospel Mission. I took Dave with me that night. Our baby has just been born. And took Dave with me that night. I was going to preach on Judas Iscariot, and somehow or other I stood on the front. The rescue mission director stood up and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Jack Hiles is here to speak for us. We're honored to have him." But he said, "Before he comes, the assistant superintendent of our rescue mission is going to come and lead the singing." A man walked out, clean white shirt, nice tie, freshly shined shoes, freshly cut hair, well shaven. And I said to my Dave, who was 6 years old, I said, "Dave, I know that man. I've seen that man somewhere." I said, "Dave, have you ever seen that man?" He said, "No, Dad." I said, "That's the Obama. That's a fellow came to my office the first day I was pastor here." He saw me with a startled look on my face. He was going to sing. He had a guitar with him. He reached out and did like that to me. Now for these 37 years, I've pastored the greatest people in all the world. And I love everybody. I love the rich. But thank God I also love the poor. I'm 70 years old almost. I like to testify it pays to lend to the to pity the poor, because you're lending to God. I hate to say this, but God's in debt to me. Be sure and pay off. I said, God's in debt to me. I said, the creator of the universe, who is holiness and righteousness and justice, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold and silver in every mine, he's indebted to me. He's got to take care of me. Why? I've been lending to him for all these long many years. He that pitieth the poor lendeth to the Lord. That's the best investment you'll ever make in your life. Would you bow your head?